Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today we have the pleasure of speaking with Kate Jones, who's from the UK. And Kate, thank you and for coming and welcome to our radio show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. We're happy to have you. So my first question is always, how did you get into Reiki?
Right. Well, I was introduced to Reiki by my Tai Chi teacher. At the time, I was running a theatre company in Birmingham, and during rehearsals, I sprained my ankle. But being the stoic that I was in those days, I still went along to my Tai Chi class that night and limped my way through the class. And at the end, my teacher came over and said, "I noticed you were struggling a bit tonight, and what's happening?" And so I said, "Well, I sprained my ankle," and you said, "Ah, I do this Japanese form of healing. Would you like me to try some on your ankle?" And I was a bit of a skeptic in those days, but I said, "All right then." And I felt this amazing energy going right the way through my body, although I actually hadn't expected to feel anything. And I assumed that it was his own energy somehow that he was using, but he said, "No, it's the energy of the universe." And I thought, that doesn't sound very real, but didn't think much more about it at the time. My ankle felt a little bit better, but there was no miracle healing. And then about 3 months after that, my dad died very suddenly. And this friend again offered me Reiki. And again, I thought, well, I can kind of accept that it helps on the physical level, but how can it help with the emotions, just putting hands on? I don't see how that helps. But anyway, I thought I'd go along and try it, and I was feeling my grief quite physically. So I went along and had the first full Reiki treatment, and it was just amazing, and it really helped at that really difficult time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back the following week and had more, and so on. Over the next 6 months, I had regular treatment.
Oh, wow. When you say it helped, what does that mean, like, specifically?
Well, on the physical level, I was feeling my grief quite physically and a pain in my chest, and that was eased. I felt tension in my body. But on the emotional level, I just felt a sense of comfort that was completely unexpected. Yeah, very, very different from anything I'd ever experienced before, really. It was just wonderful. And yeah, very unexpected.
So then what happened?
Well, I just enjoyed the treatment so much, and one of the things I loved was how Reiki seemed to adapt to whatever I needed on that particular day. So the days that I felt very fragile and vulnerable, Reiki seemed to help me feel stronger and more comforted, like it had for the first treatment. And days when I felt stronger, it felt like it was helping me to sort things out that my dad's death had brought up. So sometimes in the form of visions or dreams during the treatment, sometimes in the form of deeply buried memories that simply surfaced to my consciousness and then floated away like in bubbles. And at the end of the treatment, I would just feel lighter and as if something had been healed without even needing to know what.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So I just felt this is an amazing form of healing. And when I found out how easy Reiki is to learn, I thought, I want to do this because I want to do this for other people.
Mm-hmm. So then you took first degree and second degree?
That's right. I took first degree, and I still think of my first degree weekend as one of the most amazing weekends of my life. It was a very special weekend. And I rushed into doing second degree almost as soon as I could after that. And then started organizing classes for my Reiki master. And eventually she invited me to become a Reiki master myself, which was quite a surprise. But also a dream come true, because although I didn't think I was worthy enough to become a Reiki master, I saw that people I was treating really needed Reiki every day in their life, not just once a week.
Mm-hmm.
It was my dream to be able to teach people so that they could have Reiki every day in their life.
Mm-hmm. So was that your primary motivation to accept this invitation from your master to become a master?
Yes, it was at the time.
Uh-huh.
It was.
And hindsight, were there other things that were going on for you?
I guess there were, yes, for sure. But I think I always knew from the moment I first encountered Reiki, from the first full treatment that I had, that it was going to be something very significant in my life. And that just grew and grew the more I deepened my practice of Reiki.
Uh-huh. And now, after how many years of mastery?
15.
15. Wow. After 15 years of mastery, then, can you give us some idea of what it has brought to you, as well as teaching?
It's brought a great deal. It's really helped me to grow and develop as a person in all sorts of different ways. I've become much less fearful than I used to be. I've become much more confident as a person. I feel a deeper spiritual connection with the world around me. I feel my relationships have improved. I just have so much joy and wonder in my life now.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that Reiki has a lot to do with that.
Uh-huh. And would you say that this, when you take Reiki and you want to make all these changes in your life, that you need to also participate? Like, is that part of it? Or if you take Reiki, will it just do it by itself?
Oh, it doesn't happen without the practice. And you have to, I feel you need to practice on yourself, you need to practice on other people, you need to practice with other people and be in community with other people who have Reiki. From all of those aspects of Reiki, I've grown.
Uh-huh. Great. And my ears perked up on community, so what have you done in community? It's kind of a leading question.
Well, my Reiki master actually was very interested in connecting up Reiki practitioners. In the days when I learned Reiki, Reiki practitioners were very scattered and they hardly knew each other. And she thought it would be great if people could find out where to find another practitioner to share Reiki with, or to give Reiki to a friend. So she encouraged me to start making a list. And out of this, and also an idea that she and another Reiki master, Kristen Bonney, had of helping people to practice Reiki, came the idea of the Reiki Association. And I went to the inaugural meeting in August 1991, and I was in that community then from that time onwards. And I'm still a member.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, about a year after the association was formed, took on the role of administrator for the association, and so saw that community grow from 200 odd Reiki practitioners up to about 1,000.
Uh-huh.
And I've been involved with that community in lots of different ways, both at in the meetings and bigger gatherings, and it's always been a growth and expanding experience.
Uh-huh. And what do you feel the role of community is in our Reiki practice?
I feel it's one of the things that helps us to develop our relationship. It's for me, it's one of the fundamentals of Reiki practice, actually, is being in community together, because it's a way of being together with other people that's unlike any other. Like, I'm always amazed by the way that when people come together to share Reiki, somehow a lot of the judgments are left at the door. So a lot of the kind of problems we might have with each other in a social setting that's different from a Reiki share, somehow they aren't relevant when we're sharing Reiki. Perhaps it's because we have to suspend our normal resistance to being in close connection with each other, because we have to touch each other in Reiki. You know, we're
right.
giving Reiki, so we have to touch each other. And certainly in British society, we actually touch very little. We actually avoid it so that we're not intruding on another person. But basically, if you've come to a Reiki share, you're giving permission for that that closer contact.
Uh-huh.
And so normally that happens, I think, within the context of a closer relationship. So it's almost like we slip immediately into a closer relationship with people, in the sense of we treat them as friends.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens in the smaller context of a community, and like sharing with a few people. And it happens even more when you expand that to groups of 100 or more.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, you know, some people say that Reiki is unconditional love. So what happens in these communities or in these gatherings, for instance, when you break the barrier of the non-touching policy of society and then get into this place of unconditional love? Like, what does that mean to you?
I think it came home to me first in my early experiences of giving Reiki to people I didn't know. And suddenly I had this experience of connection with people, actually as personalities I didn't like, perhaps, or had difficulty with. When they walked in the room, I thought, oh, I don't know if I like this person. And I didn't know them very well. And yet when I gave them Reiki, I felt a connection, a human, common experience with that person. And I felt a warmth towards them. And that remained once they got off the Reiki table, even though I might have some parts of their personality I didn't like, there would still be this feeling of connection and common humanity, I suppose, which I love.
That's wonderful. And so do you feel that community is a natural part of being a Reiki student, or do you feel like it's something that people have to put up with, or?
I have to say that I'm not, I probably wasn't a natural community person to begin with, and I think it's something that people will probably come in and out of and have their own process with, if you like.
That
some people will, you know, dive into it with joy and think, this is wonderful, this is for me. But I've seen a lot of Reiki people who go, oh, I don't know if this is for me at all, and yet they're somehow drawn to being in community, in the group with other people, and they get something out of it, and it's something very often intangible. You go to these gatherings, and it can be a real headache because there are so many different people, and you go away richer somehow.
Wonderful. Well, on that note, we have to break for our first commercials. So this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back with Kate Jones in a few minutes.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki practitioners everywhere prefer Astrolite massage tables because of optimum portability, leg clearance, easy setup, comfort, and quality. For 15 years, Rampa Enterprises, previously Magic Flute, has been shipping tables around the world to the global Reiki community.
Why wait any longer to get yours? Contact us now through our website at www.portablemassagetables.com, and we'll help you select just the right table to fit your needs. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the Seventh Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life, whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office. Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcasts each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We're back after our first station break with Kate Jones from the UK. We've been speaking about community and Reiki, and I just have one more question, Kate. What's the nature of your association? I understood that it might be an association that is open for any kind of form of Reiki, or should I say all forms of Reiki?
It's open to anyone with Reiki who's been initiated in the physical presence of their Reiki master. So yes, all forms of Reiki, pretty much. And we do also have the focus of a particular system of Reiki, which is the Tsuishiki Ryoho. But we have members from many different styles or systems of Reiki.
Uh-huh. And how does that work out? Is it peaceful coexistence, or are there very, what shall we say, dynamic conversations?
Sometimes there are dynamic conversations, but I think that's something we've had more in previous years than we have now. Now there's a really great sense of harmony, actually, and the way that people are coming together in community together, no matter what style of Reiki they practice, I think is really wonderful. And there's a growing recognition that we all share this great love, which is this energy and healing practice of Reiki.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the energy, a leading question, how would you describe Reiki, the energy?
I would describe it as something that flows. I have a sense that perhaps the universe is all made up of energy in different forms, and which is actually what quantum physics is beginning to describe. So even solid objects are also made of energy, and then there's energy which is very dissipated, like in space, in the universe. So I have a sense that there is this energy, and also it has, for me, a certain sense of perhaps a consciousness as well that flows through everything. And when we do Reiki, we are connecting with a particular quality of that energy that flows through everything. And it's an energy that helps things to come back into balance. The Taoists talk about the yin and yang, the flow of dark and light, or that makes a balance of the whole. So I feel that Reiki is helping that sort of flow to happen, and so that things flow into balance.
Mm-hmm. So you've talked a little bit about what Reiki does, and I'm wondering, you've described earlier in the program the changes that have come over you. And I'm wondering if you've seen any kind of pattern of change in the community that you've been associated with all these years. I mean, I know that people go in and out, but as an entity, I don't know if there's some pattern, or am I just reaching
here. I certainly have felt that the growth of the association has followed certain patterns that have been a growth in the wider Reiki community. So there was a time when there were a lot of questions flying around, a lot of distrust in the wider Reiki community with all the different styles of Reiki, not quite knowing what to do with each other, how to be with each other. And those sort of things were reflected in the association at the time. But gradually, as we've got to know each other more, as we've been in community more over time, we've become more comfortable with each other, and there is now much more harmony. And I've also seen that in the wider Reiki community and other parts of the community that I've been involved with.
Mm-hmm.
So there's often been a reflection. It's been a microcosm of the macrocosm.
Uh-huh. And now, you know, I don't want to get too involved in detail, but I understand that the Reiki Association that you belong to is one of several Reiki associations in the UK. I assume that you're familiar with those?
That's right. Yes, there are many different Reiki organizations in the UK now. When the Reiki Association first started, it was one of only a very few. But now there are many Reiki organizations that represent different styles or that meet different needs in our Reiki community.
Uh-huh. Great. And I know that you're very interested in public practice and that you've been a part. Have you been a part of some of the meetings that have happened around the different Reiki styles coming together and talking?
That's right, yes. Yes, there's an organizer or a group called the Reiki Regulatory Working Group.
Wow, what a mouthful.
RRWG for short, which is a coming together of representatives from the Reiki organizations who have at least 100 members and who are interested in helping to set up a register of Reiki practitioners in the UK.
Uh-huh. Now, for listeners who don't know what a register is in English,
okay,
the Queen's English, could you enlighten us about
that?
Yeah.
So what that means is basically a list of Reiki practitioners who've met certain standards.
Okay.
And it will be a voluntary register, which means that people can choose whether they want to be on it or not. But the hope is the hope of the group is that by having a list of recognized practitioners, the public will have more confidence in Reiki as a practice, as a treatment practice.
So when you say more confidence, mm-hmm. Can you tell me what the atmosphere was that brought this group to forming?
Mm. Well, there were two things. I mean, on a very practical and kind of down to earth level, there was a report from the House of Lords looking at complementary therapy as a whole, because more and more people in the UK are choosing to have or receive complementary therapies as part of their healthcare. And there was a concern from the medical profession in particular, I would think, that, you know, who were all these people who were not trained as doctors who were helping people with their health?
Uh-huh.
So this report suggested that it would be a good idea if the various complementary therapies got themselves organized, had better regulation, so that they had codes of ethics and clear boundaries, really, about who was an appropriate and safe practitioner and mm-hmm. who wasn't. Because sadly, we do live in a world where some people are not what they seem and who are looking to make money quickly or, you know, they don't have the integrity of most that most complementary practitioners do. So the other aspect of it was that Reiki is seen as something a bit out on the edge in terms of complementary therapies. In fact, even the group has decided it's not even a therapy.
So oh, yes? Oh, do tell. What's that about?
It's about not wanting to fit in or be seen to be put into the medical model. So, and also not even this, there's a real recognition that Reiki is somewhat different from complementary therapies like aromatherapy and reflexology, where the primary aim is to use a practice to help people with their health. Reiki has so much more than that and is so much more than that for so many people. And that's recognized, you know, in this group, that there is, Reiki is also, for a lot of people, a spiritual practice. It's also personal growth. And for many people, they learn Reiki, but they never intend to work publicly.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a very, it was really important to preserve those aspects of Reiki, as well as having it available to people if they wanted to be treated.
Uh-huh. Wow. So this particular multi-style group,
yeah,
has come together, mm-hmm. and recognizing all these similarities, that mm-hmm. must be really a wonderful place of celebration.
Actually, I think it's an amazing thing. What the first project that we had actually was to work on National Occupational Standards. This is another lot of terminology. NOS for short. But basically, it was a statement of the basic standards a practitioner who's working with the public needs to meet, which any training is set up in this country that's going to be accredited would need to meet those standards. So all as many different styles of Reiki as could be were involved in the discussion. So it actually went beyond the RRWG group as well.
Wow.
And that was, I feel, a real achievement. And one of the things that we found in talking about this was how much common ground we had. And that was a really wonderful thing. And out of that came a great deal more trust and a great deal more willingness to work together.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Mm. Hmm. Yeah.
So, community, public practice, and have you found it to be true that there are some forms that lean more toward teaching students in kind of a way that they are teaching healers, and there are some forms that more put the focus on something else?
Yes.
I mean, yes. Is this part of the difference?
Yes, that would be true, yes. I mean, some styles of Reiki have very much taken more of a view of it as a therapy, more of it as, mm-hmm. as the healing practice. And some have gone completely the other way and see it almost entirely as a spiritual
really?
Practice. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Well, interesting.
And then there's everything in between. It's like a rainbow.
Well, that's a great vision. Excuse me. Wow, I don't know where that cough came from. I just want all of the listeners to know this has nothing to do with what Kate just said. So, I like rainbows. I'm really into them. So, this is another time for station break, and this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with our guest today, Kate Jones. We'll be back in a few moments.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you tired of carrying a heavy wooden massage table around? Is your back sore? Or do you have imprints of cables and braces on your kneecaps after sitting and giving a Reiki treatment? Try a lightweight Astrolight massage table for maximum comfort. Contact us, Paul or Upasana, at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolight, the table of a lifetime.
For Spirit of Film Conversations, this is Randall Barrow. Hello, Seventh Wave listeners. I hope you'll join me each week as I explore how movies are changing the way we think, live, and dream. Spirit of Film Conversations showcases today's independent and visionary filmmakers and their personal and artistic journey to bring their vision to the big screen, television, DVD, or streaming video on the internet. Spirit of Film Conversations is also for people who make movies, whether the established film professional or the aspiring filmmaker. My show also celebrates the motion picture's unique ability to affect us emotionally, intellectually, even spiritually. So if you want to hear the real behind-the-scenes story of the most amazing and visionary films being made today and find out how you can use movies to empower you in your everyday life, join me each week on Spirit of Film Conversations every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Also, check out my website at spiritoffilm.net to find out more about the movies I talk about each week. And thanks for listening to Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change.
Discover how to create the reality you desire, manifest your destiny, and find your authentic self. Meet your angels, teachers, and guides along the way. Explore how karma is created, how contracts can be cleared, and how to heal past life and ancestral pain to clearing your path toward ascension in this lifetime. Learn how to make this experience joyful and not frightening. Jean Adrian's book, Soul Adventures, is available for purchase on her website at Amazon.com and in your local bookstore. She also created a card deck, the Inner Speak Cards, which enables fast and simple karmic clearing sessions. They are available for purchase on her website at www.innerspeak.com. That's www.innerspeak.com.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto, back with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We have Kate Jones with us. She lives in England and is, we've been speaking about community and about the way that the Reiki community in Great Britain have come together at the urging of the government to form a kind of group. She's much more articulate than I am, obviously. And as a result of that, have found a multidisciplinary or multi-form kind of community, which sounds really inspiring, because I know that a lot of the rest of the world is engaged in this kind of, well, I hate to use the word conflict, but this kind of confusion about all the different forms of Reiki and can we find a common ground? Mm. So it's just wonderful to hear that in the UK you've actually had the motivation to sit down, talk, get to know one another, and be more at peace with each other. Mm. I think it bodes well for kind of the world situation today. So now, when we speak about public practice, what does that mean to you in this system?
In this system, it means basically working, giving Reiki treatments to people you don't know.
Uh-huh.
So most students start with treating, well, hopefully themselves, their family, their friends, and then their friends of friends. And then eventually that circle widens until somebody they really don't know comes knocking on the door.
Uh-huh. And would you say public practice has an element of advertising, or is it just people they don't know? I mean, I know you're working with the RRWG definitions, which is really great.
Yeah.
So it feels like they're much more neutral, so I'm interested.
Right. Well, it's quite interesting because what I've also been discussing with them is whether we're talking about public practice or professional practice, because I do feel there's a difference. And I feel that, I mean, generally the consensus in the RRWG is that we're talking about professional practice, which again is another level of exposure, if you like, or another level of certainly professionalism. So I would say that a public practitioner probably doesn't advertise in the sense of putting adverts in the local paper or the magazine, but they mostly have people come to them by word of mouth. A professional practitioner is somebody who is more out there, who may well have some form of advertising, maybe a website, maybe some limited amount of advertising in magazines. Again, word of mouth is always the way that works best, as most complementary practitioners know. but you have to start somewhere. So while a public practitioner may have leaflets that they give to people when they meet them, or a card that they always carry with them to give to somebody, they tend to do their advertising that way, if you like. A professional practitioner might kind of do it on a slightly more out there sort of way, more public, really, more public advertising. But I think what I've learned recently is that whatever it is, it's always about relationships. It's about building the relationships. So whether it's a public practitioner or a professional practitioner, the getting people to come is always about building relationships.
Mm-hmm. Great. And so professional Reiki practitioners, that's what we're speaking about. So in my understanding of the word professional, this connotates for me more training.
Yeah.
So is that sort of inherent in your definition of professional?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. There is an agreement in the RRWG that first and second degree in themselves, and even the master's certificate for those who go to that stage, are not a preparation for professional Reiki practice as a practitioner.
And this is agreed in all the forms?
Yes. Wow. In the forms that are participating in the RRWG.
Wow.
So there are, I think, 12 organizations represented, and they probably represent more than 12 styles of Reiki. So, yes, this is a really wonderful agreement. There is this agreement that there needs to be more training, and we are actually working at the moment on a curriculum for what that training should look like. So to meet the gap between, say, second degree and being a professional practitioner.
Uh-huh. So does this mean that people would need to be second degree students in order to be a professional practitioner?
The consensus in the RRWG is that actually they don't necessarily, that they may be practitioners in the public domain without having second degree. But in some practices I know that it is actually recommended that people have second degree, and it is, you know, a lot of people think it's important, but we're not making it essential, because there are many people who do first degree and who practice for many, many years and have a wonderful sensitivity in their hands and great intuition and give a fantastic treatment, and we would have no problem in sending our granny to see them.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm glad that you all are so practical in some way. So tell me, when you talk about a fantastic treatment, what does that mean to you?
Well, for me, it's a treatment. Essentially, I think one of the most important things is that it's a treatment that's comfortable. That it's comfortable physically, that I'm lying on a comfortable table, that I feel comfortable with the environment, that I feel comfortable about the way that I've been welcomed to that treatment, that I know what's going on. So on an emotional and mental level as well, that I feel comfortable, that I feel safe with the person who's given me the Reiki, that I don't feel that they're going to be intrusive. I mean, after all, they're going to be putting their hands on me, so I need to feel safe enough with that person that they're not going to put their hands on where I wouldn't want them to. Just general physical and emotional comfort, I would say. Feeling safe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have anything to do with the energy that comes out of the person's hand.
Well, that would be...
Or is that the next stage?
That's the next stage of the comfort. Yes, I mean, for me, Reiki is a very comforting treatment on a lot of levels, so so that would also be a part of it. But how do you measure people's Reiki? You can't really sort of say this, you know, how much Reiki a person has. We definitely feel that people should have lots of experience before they become a professional practitioner, and so have used their Reiki a lot. So hopefully we'll have a lot of, you know, energy flowing through their hands. But we've really focused more on the more practical side, in a way, in terms of the regulatory group.
Well, I think that's great. And I'm just wondering, I know that some people have come to me and said, oh, that person, I don't know about their Reiki because I don't like it, or it seems to have negative energy or something. Mm. And I'm just wondering, how do you feel about that? And what would you say to somebody who came to you and said, well, I had a Reiki treatment, but yeah, their energy felt negative. And
I think it's about, sometimes it's about personality clash. Sometimes it can just be that that was the wrong practitioner for you. And I think we're in the Reiki Regulatory Working Group, we feel it's really important to respect the different disciplines that we have and to recognize that there are different styles of Reiki and that one might be better for somebody than another simply because of their personality, their life experience, just who they are energetically sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
In their whole being, some kinds of Reiki might be more suitable in their approach to life. So, personally, I'm very much against thinking about negativity and very much about thinking positively and not being fearful about things.
Uh-huh.
So my recommendation to somebody who's said, you know, perhaps came to me and said I had this treatment and it felt very negative was, well, go to somebody else.
Try it again.
Try it again with someone
uh-huh.
else.
Uh-huh. Good advice.
Let me give you a Reiki treatment.
Right. Good advice. When this comes to the next step, this RRWG, will there be a place where clients who have experienced not positive experiences in Reiki can come?
Absolutely. That's one of the main purposes, really, of having the register is to have a registrar, which will be a body of some kind, which will be somewhere that the public can go, both to find out who is a recognized Reiki practitioner and therefore might be able to give them a good treatment and certainly recognized to be safe and competent at what they do. But also, if there are problems, it also gives them somewhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
The organization, you know, people will sign up to a code of ethics and a code of practice. That so they will know what the expectations of them are, and there will be a process by which people can resolve any conflicts and or complaints that they have around the behavior or any other issues they have with a practitioner.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so impressed with what you all have begun, and I know that there's a process also going on in Australia that's pretty far along. But it seems like these two countries, the UK, the UK and Australia are really leading the pack, so to speak, in bringing forms of Reiki together or different styles of Reiki together, sitting them down at the same table, creating common goals and purposes.
Yes.
I think that's great, and I really hope that this sort of has a spreading effect. And
I'm sure it will. That ripples will go out.
That's great. Wonderful. So this is Phyllis Fermoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And we're ready for another commercial break, if you can believe it. And we'll be back with Kate Jones in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere. On the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Being here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss being here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
The Unity Radio Hour, more than a radio show. The Unity Radio Hour is leading-edge spirituality, which will help you discover new ways to enhance your life, your relationships, your career, and more. Plan to spend every Wednesday afternoon with your host, Mindy Ottlin, for the Unity Radio Hour, broadcasting live on the 7th Wave Network at 12 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Central.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto, back with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. So what we're talking about today with Kate is a lot about public practice. This is the practice that some Reiki students can choose if they feel so drawn to treat people that they don't know and go even one more step further into what they call a professional practice. But for the listeners who haven't experienced Reiki, who might be drawn after listening to this program to go to a Reiki practitioner, I'm just wondering, you know, we don't have these regulations in place. The registrar is not there. So how do people find a Reiki practitioner and how do they know whether it'll be good for them? So do you have any great words of advice?
I think, the Reiki Association does have a list of Reiki practitioners who've been through a certain selection process. So those that are on the list have met certain criteria. So that's one place to start, is to go to the Reiki Association website and have a look and see about getting their list of practitioners. Other organisations also have lists of practitioners. But the other thing you can get from the Reiki Association is some advice about how to choose a Reiki practitioner. So it gives some guidance about trusting your feelings, I think, is one of the most important things. If somebody feels right, give it a go. And if it doesn't feel right, don't be afraid to walk away. Because you really have to find the right person for you to give you Reiki.
And if the people aren't living in the UK, but want to find a Reiki practitioner, like, is there some place to find people? Like, does the website work? Does the web, you know, like Googling?
Going on the web.
Yeah.
Sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, another organization that can help connect people with Reiki practitioners sometimes is the Reiki Alliance, which is an international organization. It's an organization of Reiki masters, so they may know of their own students who could give Reiki treatments if they don't give them themselves. The best thing also is to look around in the local area, talk to people, because these days Reiki is so much more well known. You're sooner or later you will bump into somebody who knows about a Reiki practitioner or is one.
So maybe go into the local esoteric bookshop,
yeah,
for instance.
Or health food store. I mean,
great idea.
Because it's all, you know, people who go there are already looking after their health, very often complementary practitioners, including Reiki, put up posters there.
Yeah, great idea. Great idea. Good.
And obviously there are complementary therapy centers as well. Which some of whom have Reiki practitioners working from them, and that's quite a good place to start, because generally a centre won't have a practitioner working there unless they have a certain level of professionalism. They will have ensured that they have insurance and that they have the training that they say they have. You know, they'll look at their certificates and so on. And also, if somebody's been working there for some time, you will know that they're trustworthy, because they wouldn't keep on working in a centre if they weren't.
Great. And so you're involved a lot in the administration of and the organisation of this, but what about your own private practice?
Yes, I actually gave up my job for working for the Reiki Association 2004, in order to be able to concentrate more on my own professional practice of Reiki, giving more Reiki treatments, in fact, which was something I'd somehow longed to do while I was working for the association, but never quite had a lot of time for. So for the first year or so, I actually worked very intensely with one Reiki client, which was an incredibly wonderful experience. And then sadly she died, and I found that I didn't have a Reiki practice at all for a while. But gradually it's grown up again, and I really have enjoyed having more time to devote to giving Reiki treatments. It's been really wonderful. But recently I've also had a shift in realizing that I am, after all, a Reiki master, and that I can probably help more by teaching.
Uh-huh.
Teaching more.
Uh-huh.
I know that the Reiki treatments will still happen, and that's part of how students often find you, is to come for a Reiki treatment first. So I've decided to focus more on supporting people in their Reiki practice. And in particular, with all my experience through the RRWG and the Reiki Association, I feel I can really help people who want to work in the public domain and who want to give public treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in the process of devising a few little seminars and so on to help people with that.
That's great.
Mm.
Wonderful.
Yes.
And, excuse me, will these seminars be offered by, I'm just wondering if the RRWG is creating possible training programs that other masters can also offer.
Well, the RRWG is not that kind of organization in itself where it will develop training programs. It will simply, the curriculum, for example, is describing the sort of things that people need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be up to either individual masters or other organizations to develop those trainings.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, the Reiki Association, for example, has a thing called the Practitioner Support Program, which puts on seminars, sometimes one day seminar, sometimes weekend seminars, that address different aspects of helping to people to deepen their practice of Reiki.
Uh-huh.
So they may well offer, you know, at some point, some of the training that may be needed according to this curriculum.
Uh-huh. Great. Well, we're really coming down to the close of our interview, and there's so many more questions I want to ask you. And I'm wondering if you have something that you would like to say. Is there some topic, like, out of the blue that you're dying to put on the radio?
I'm just, I think you've already asked me about what I'm most passionate about, which is about public practice, and I just wanted to say how excited I am to be stepping into this new area for me of offering workshops to help people with who want to move into public practice, or just who want to understand Reiki a little bit more, want to have more excitement and joy in their practice of Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have a website if people want to go and have a look there at the sort of things that I'm offering.
What's that website?
It's called thereikidojo.co.uk. So www.thereikidojo, which is spelled thereikidojo.co.uk.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kate, very much for your time and your energy and for all the work that you've done over the last, I don't know how many years, for not just the RRWG, but the Reiki Association. I know that the community in the UK has been enriched by your contribution.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is Phyllis Furumoto, and I'm having to sign off at yet another program with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We've been talking about public practice, and this subject will come up again and again in some of the interviews. And this particular interview is a great foundation for people to just enter into this thought of there's a folk art practice, which is the practice that we teach in first and second degree, and a public practice, which is treating people that you don't know, and a professional practice, which takes in more training and is presented more in the public and with within a kind of more, what should I say? Dare I use the word professional setting? Thank you. So until next week, this is Phyllis Fermoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.